I was told that John Feldhacker would always make a joke about it being kind of dusty up here. But I think someone got here this morning because it's pretty clean. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning I want to talk about superheroes. Superheroes, those larger-than-life figures whose supernatural powers can defeat even the fiercest foes, protecting the people of the world from the grasp of evildoers. On the surface, superheroes generally lead pretty ordinary lives. Some might even say boring lives. But when duty calls, they rise to the challenge, fighting the bad guys, sometimes against all odds, and winning. Take Superman, for example. By day, he's Clark Kent, a slightly nerdy-looking reporter. But when someone's in crisis, Clark disappears, and Superman shows up faster than a speeding bullet, and he saves the day. By the way, did you know that Clark Kent is a Methodist? It's true. I looked it up. It's in Wikipedia. But it's true. He grew up going to Smallville Methodist Church. So you can file that under your list of famous Methodists. Today, our text focuses on a different kind of superhero. The term superhero probably wasn't around when David was fighting Goliath. But one could argue that he was one of the originals. He's an ordinary shepherd boy who comes up against a villain who seems superior in every way. In fact, as villains go, Goliath is the worst of the worst. First of all, he's huge, he's tall. Now, scholars kind of debate about how tall exactly he was, but most say that he was at least 6'9", and he might have been even as tall as 9'9". And then, Goliath is well-armored and well-armed. He has a state-of-the-art uniform made of bronze, which weighs over 272 pounds. He's packing a javelin and a spear, and boy, is he intimidating. He knows how to trash talk with the best of them. In fact, he's caused so much fear and trembling among the Israelites that they have been frozen for 40 days, unable to identify one person willing to fight this Philistine. Yet David volunteers for the job. Now, King Saul has his doubts, and really, who could blame him? After all, David is just a boy. But David is determined, and after some persuasion, Saul agrees that David can take on Goliath. And like any good superhero, David defeats his enemy and saves the day for his people. But David differs from other superheroes in one really important way. Other superheroes take on an alter ego. They pretend to be ordinary people when they aren't off saving the world. Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man. Bruce Wayne becomes Batman. Diana Prince becomes Wonder Woman. But David doesn't take on the persona of a bug or a bat. And he certainly doesn't wear a uniform made of spandex. He doesn't have an alter ego. David is just David. When he volunteers to fight Goliath, Saul offers him the king's armor, and David gives it a try, but it doesn't fit him well. It's heavy and bulky, and he can't walk in it. So in the end, David takes it off. He decides that he's just going to be himself, and he's a shepherd. So he gathers up his shepherd's tools, a staff, a sling, and 5 small stones, and he goes to face the giant. I think it takes a special kind of bravery to take on a giant without any armor. Of course, the giants that we face aren't always the villains in the traditional sense. More often, they're the tough challenges that life throws our way. Job loss, relationship struggles, grief, illness, addiction. To be honest, there are more giants than I could possibly name. But I know my own giants very well, and you do too. We all have them. And there are so many voices out there telling us that we're no match for those giants, that what we bring to the battle is insufficient, that who we are is not enough. So it's tempting to put on armor. That fake smile, pretending that everything is great, even though we're a mess on the inside. Or the judgment of others, focusing on their weaknesses so that we don't have to focus so much on our own. We might put on the armor of denial, not even admitting to ourselves that we're struggling. Or we might put on the armor of blame, fixating on what others have done wrong. There are probably as many kinds of armor out there as there are giants. But even though the armor we put on isn't made of bronze, it can sometimes feel just as heavy. After all, it takes a lot of energy to pretend, to judge, to live in denial, or to blame. In her book, Traveling Mercies, author Anne Lamott talks about her struggles with addiction and eating disorders. She says, "I looked fine on the outside, thin, cheerful, even successful. But on the inside, I was utterly obsessed. I was a spy in the world of happy eating, always hungry or stuffed, but never full. Luckily, I was drinking all the time." But then Anne Lamott gave up drinking, and she began to share her struggles with the women in her AA group. She says, "I told them almost every crime and secret I had because I believed them when they said that we are as sick as our secrets." She says that after that, her life got much sweeter right away, but she still hid her eating disorder. It took her another full year before she sought the help of a professional and slowly began to have a healthier relationship with food. She says, it is finally so wonderful to have learned to eat, to taste and love what slips down my throat, patting me, filling me up, and I'm not uncomfortable calling it a small miracle. This is terrifying business, of course. This business of taking off our armor, of laying ourselves bare, of owning all of who we are, challenges and all. Author and professor Brené Brown says that it takes daily practice to cultivate the courage to be emotionally honest, to set boundaries, and to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. But, she says, mindfully practicing authenticity during our most soul-searching struggles is how we invite grace, joy, and gratitude into our lives. When we get real with ourselves, we can get real with God, too. Of course, God already knows about our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. But getting real with God opens us up to receiving the gifts that God has to offer us. And it helps us to see the ways in which God might work in us and through us. After all, God created us in the first place. And despite all of our flaws and imperfections, God still has the audacity to call us good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul reminds us that God's grace is sufficient for us. In fact, God's power is made perfect in our weakness, not despite our weakness, but in our weakness. Eugene Peterson translates this to say, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." Last week, Michael talked about the miracle of the loaves and fishes. He said that Jesus invites us not to live with a theology of scarcity, but to live with a theology of enough, that there is enough for everyone. I think that David's story echoes that invitation for our own lives as well. David doesn't need an alter ego. He doesn't need to put on Saul's armor or anyone else's for that matter, because who he is enough. A young shepherd boy with a staff and a sling and 5 small stones is enough to take on a giant. Putting on any other armor would just hold him back. He needs to be authentically himself. Because in the end, David knows that this isn't about him. And it's not about Goliath. It's about God and what God can do through a young boy with a staff and a sling and 5 small stones. We are enough. I am enough, and you are enough. And it's not because of anything that we do or don't do. We don't have to work really hard before we're enough. We don't have to earn a lot of money before we're enough. We don't even have to become spiritual giants before we're enough. We're enough, period. It's what John Wesley called prevenient grace, a grace that goes before us. God's grace goes before us into any battle that we're up against, and there's nothing that we can do to earn it or lose it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to conquer all of those giants in our lives, that everything will always go our way. But it does mean that we're not alone in our struggles. It means that God is with us every time we get real with ourselves and take off that armor. Every time we turn to face the giants with authenticity. Every time we put one foot in front of the other and step forward in faith. As David reminds us, we serve a living God. A God who specializes in turning the tables on power, using the small and weak to challenge the proud and mighty, to bring life out of death, to make a way where there is no way. From a shepherd boy in Judah to a baby born in a barn in Bethlehem, God can make superheroes out of all of us. God's power made perfect in our weakness. Thanks be to God. Amen.